today on It's Time.
When you belong to God, you're going to be a resource for others' betterment.
Over the valleys, I hear the calling. It's time. It's time. It's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling.
So he said, it's not within me, but God will give you the answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of a river. And by the way, there's a few more details inserted this time, probably as Pharaoh thought about it. Notice it says, suddenly there were seven cows that came out of the river, looking fat and fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very straggly, ugly. Such ugliness I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. These must have been some ugly cows. Robert, don't you buy no ugly cow. I'm sorry. And the ugly cows, the mangy cows, ate up the seven fat cows, the first seven fat cows. And when he had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had just eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke also in my dream, and suddenly seven head of came up on one stalk of grain, came up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven heads withered, thin, blighted by the east wind, and sprang up after them. And I saw the thin heads devour the seven good heads. And so I told this to my magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. Now it's interesting here that he outlines this. And if you go back in those notes that I put in your bulletin, you'll notice in verses 16, there is one of the ones there that I wrote down. God is the only one with interpretation. And Jesus always pointed to his Father, whatever was done. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father in heaven doing. And so the glory must go to God. And this is just one of the places where we find it here. Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. They mean the same thing. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Isn't that amazing that we know what's about to happen in the world and the world doesn't? The world sees things that are wrong, but they don't know what it means. Pharaoh knew things were wrong, but he didn't know what it meant. You don't think people in the world see things that are going wrong? Isn't it weird the Bible talks about during the tribulation period, there's going to be a one world religion, there's going to be a one world monetary system. Wow, that's weird. Because I believe of this problem with fiat money, money printed with nothing to support it. They tell stories about in Germany where inflation was so bad that the men were paid four times a day. And the wives would come down, get the money, and as quickly as they could get to the store to buy stuff, because in just a few hours, it would cost more than it did a few hours before. Inflation was that high. There's a record of one person saying that somebody had a wheelbarrow full of money. They dumped the money out, and they stole the wheelbarrow. Money wasn't worth anything. It's paper. Well, that's what happens. People in the world know these things. Pharaoh knew something was wrong. And so he goes to Joseph and says, okay, what you dreamed, Pharaoh is the same dream. And this is what it means. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 good years. And the 7 good years, heads are 7 years, and the dreams are one. So the fat cows and the nice plump grain, it's 7 years. And the seven thin and the 7 ugly, which came up after them, are 7 years. And 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come through the land of Egypt. But after that, those 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following it, and it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, this is something that Pharaoh didn't ask for, but this is what Joseph said. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt for 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store them up under the authority of Pharaoh, and let him keep the food in the cities. Then the food will be a reserve for the land in the 7 years of famine, which will be on the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Wow. So he not only told him the dream, but he says, now this is what you need to do about it. Don't be scared when somebody comes to you with a problem and you help them, and then you need to tell them what to do about the problem. Remember, Jesus did this oftentimes. They brought a man sick to him, and Jesus prayed for him, and he was healed. But then he said something interesting to him. He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Can sin cause illness in our lives? Yes, it can. Not every time. We know a lot of people that get sick, and there's a false teaching out there that says, well, if you're sick, there's sin in your life. Not necessarily so. We remember Paul writes to Timothy and he says, take some wine for your stomach and your other infirmities. He didn't say, Timothy, get the sin out of your life or have more faith. But the point is simply this, is that sin can cause bad things to happen to us. And when something happens and God presents the opportunity to share with somebody, don't be scared to tell them, and this is what you need to do. You need to get right with God. Did you ever think that maybe some of these things might be happening to you because you've left God out of your life and you're making bad decisions upon one another continually? Do you want another 10 years like you just had? And you'll find oftentimes people will almost say, what do I do? Well, repent, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So I believe there's a lot there. Now, again, there's many of these parallels. I'll let you kind of use the mic notes there on your own. But verse 37, and we do find that over here as well, in whom the Spirit of God dwells, was given the Spirit of God without limitation. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a man as this, in whom the Spirit of God dwells literally? By the way, this is the first time in the Bible where, and recognized by the world, that the Spirit of God will dwell in an individual or be upon an individual. I think it's really important because when you go to Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament, that wasn't just for an occasional Joseph or an Elijah or an Elisha or somebody else, but Acts chapter 2, Jesus made it for all of us. where the Spirit of God would dwell on us, like we would read right here. So he says, and by the way, he took counsel. He said to his servants, he went and said, hey, what are we going to do about this? I think this is the real deal here. What are we going to do? So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch that God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. By the way, this is one of the things you find in the New Testament too. They said, how is it that these guys are Galileans? They're unskilled men, but they're so smart, they perceive because they had been with Jesus. I'll tell you, you're known by the company you keep. You hang around a bunch of deadhead dumbheads, you're going to be a deadhead dumbhead. You hang around with God, the Spirit of God. You hang around with Joseph and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel, you're going to be wise as well. You're known by the company you keep, Solomon says. So he says, you shall be over my house. All my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. By the way, this is what we find that happened to Jesus. After Jesus was taken from the pit of death, rose from the dead, the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So he says, literally, you'll be right alongside of me. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took the signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments, fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. He had some bling at this point. What that was giving him authority. The signet ring oftentimes would be like those sealing rings that, you know, when you send letters back a long time ago, in the early 70s, you would take and drip hot wax on a letter and then you'd have your little seal and you'd push in the hot wax and then you'd mail your letter. Well, the signet ring was like that. And so when there would be a decree made, it would be sealed with hot wax with the signet ring of the officer, so they know who prescribed that and who, so that it couldn't be counterfeited. And it said he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they crowd out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. And by the way, the Bible says that all the knees will bow to the glory of the God the Father. So we see these parallels all the way through. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephath Paneah. I don't know exactly how you say these words, but that's as close as I can do. And gave him a wife named Athena, the daughter of Pati Paraha, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 years of plenty, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered all the food of the 7 years that were in the land of Egypt and laid it up in the food in the cities. And he laid up every city food in the fields which surrounded them. And Joseph gathered very much grain, and the sand is on the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was without number. In other words, he brought in absolutely as much as they could possibly bring in. It was to the max of bringing all this grain in because of what was about to happen. And Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. By the way, this is really pretty important, because before the famine came, I believe the tribulation period is going to be the famine on the world that's never seen before. And what's really weird is Pharaoh gave Joseph a Gentile wife. And what's really weird is your Father in heaven gave Jesus, you and me, a Gentile wife, as the Gentile wife as well. Just some interesting parallels here. And was born two sons. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and in my and all in my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And by the way, that's what God does when we come to him. He causes us to forget the things the way we used to live, and now in turn blesses us. And so, then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended. And 7 years of famine began to come, and Joseph, just as Joseph had said, and the famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And so when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, go to Joseph, and whatever he says to you, do, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe throughout the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the lands. The point is here that I see is that this is where Egypt became a world-governing empire. And it was because of the advice. Everybody else was broke. Everybody else was hungry. And they were coming, giving whatever they could do to just get something to eat. When you belong to God, you're going to be a resource for others' betterment. God's going to take care of you. He's promised that. He's made that covenant with you as his children. But it's that God through you will bless others. We don't want to be little Hoover dams and back up the water. We want to let the water flow. That's what God wants to do in your life. And so as God pours down on you, you pour out to others. Because we have a lost world. We have a world that is in famine. And I want to just invite you today that if you're not a Christian, that you might consider Jesus. What are you living your life for that seems to be so important that you wouldn't say, God, whatever time I have left on this earth, I'm going to give to you? Because what are you living for? I use that illustration almost every sermon because I like to go to junk stores. I do. But you know, it's funny. If you've ever been to very many junk stores, you'll notice junk. Now, every once in a while, you find a treasure, and that's why I'm there. But something I almost always find every junk store are trophies that meant something to someone or others once upon a time. They're now being sold for a nickel in a box. Is that what you want your life to be? We're here for just a short time, and then we're gone. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, but the one thing I never regret ever was serving you. I just want to invite you this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you'd consider Christ. There's a whole world of famine out there and people having unctions and feelings and dreams, and they know something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. And God has said, I put you, my spirit, on you to go out and bless them. And you know the reaction was, oh, nobody wants to hear that stuff. Certainly wasn't the case with Pharaoh. In fact, he said, I'm so grateful. Here, you take over all of it. That's the way God works. And God doesn't have favorites. And as I look in the Bible, I see how God's blessing, his hand, is upon those that love him. I pray today you're one that does. You see, God loves the whole world. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you love God? And the Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us all unrighteousness. We serve a risen Savior who demonstrated power over death. So not only did he take away our sins, but he also gave us life eternal. That's a good thing. This morning, if you've never prayed and asked Christ in your life, we're going to pray right now. And you can ask the Lord to come in your life and change you. You might say, yes, I'm around people that I know are looking for answers. I'm looking for answers. Well, I got good news for you. The one who has the answer to your question knocks at the door of your heart right now and says, will you let me in? I want to change you forever. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he'll do that. I didn't sign a pledge card. I didn't sell flowers in airports. All I did was just say, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord changed my life. And he'll do that for you. Because it isn't a legal relationship. Well, it's a legal relationship, but it's a love relationship where you just simply say, okay, Lord, from this day forward, whatever I got left is yours. And you'll be amazed what God will do to you. Every morning when you get up, you say, Lord, today's your day. And you know what? You might be on the way to work and have a blowout. And you go, wow, that's never happened before. Yeah, that's right. Because when you go to check your tire, your spare, it's flat. Well, gee, that's really neat. God, I pray, and this is what happens to me. So the guy from AA shows up, not Alcoholics Anonymous, from AAA. And he shows up, and as he's changing your tire, he begins to lay on you what's going on in his life, and you sit there and go, oh, wow. You let the tire be flat in the car, and that I would have a flat tire, so I would have to call this guy so he would come and I could minister to him. And that's being about your Father's business. You see, it's really neat. Sometimes it's just standing in the store and somebody will bump into you and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry. And you say, well, that's all right. I get bumped into all the time. I'm sure your bumping into me wasn't by accident. Hey, do you know Jesus? Boy, I'll tell you, you get some reactions there. I've done that. I remember going in and the lady, after they put the stent in my heart and all that kind of stuff, she was laying there. She says, well, now, do you feel really depressed? I guess a lot of people do. Do you know why? Because after they have a heart attack and they come back to life, it doesn't kill them. They're in depression because they realize they could have died or should have died and their life is meaningless. And she says, are you depressed? And I go, no, I feel great. And she goes, oh, how is this? And I said, well, I'm a Christian and I believe that God allowed me to be here. And I said, I don't believe anything happens to us by accident. And I gave her the hope. I figured, God, if you lay me out in a hospital bed with a heart attack, I'm going to tell her all of it. And I gave her the whole plan of salvation right there. Don't miss an opportunity. Because the Bible says, great's your reward in heaven. Listen. The last thing I thought that day is I would have a heart attack and almost die. You don't know. Jesus said, be ready. I want you to be ready. That you can open the door quickly when the Lord calls and you can say, let's go. You know, one of these days, I do believe that the Lord's going to come and take his church home. And I want you all to be ready. To being about your Father's business when he comes, what a great blessing you'll have. Jesus said that, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Paul says in Corinthians 15, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. The dead in Christ rise, because you see, their bodies, you're going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. You're going to need a body, not just a spirit like in heaven right now where they are. They're going to get reunited to their body. You're going to be transformed, moment, twinkling of an eye. You're not going to be, you're going to have the right size nose, the right amount of hair. We're going to be so good looking, okay? And God's going to take us home. For 7 years, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, the reward seat, while judgment is falling out on this earth. And then at the end, Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, stops it. And the Bible says he sets up his reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And we will rule and reign with him. That's what we have to look forward to, friends. So, you think, well, that sounds so unbelievable. Have you heard what the people outside of God think this world is headed for? Dawning of the age of Aquarius? Imagined by John Lennon? Ain't happening. Being about daddy's business is so important. If you've never prayed, we're going to pray right now. And you can ask the Lord to come into your life. And then when people ask you questions about life, you can say, well, I don't know, but I know the one who does. That's exactly what Joseph said. So if you need to get right with God, let's just pray right now. Just where you meet Jesus, you just turn your life over to him. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I invite you into my life today. and I repent of the foolish way I've lived to define life. So from this day forward, I want to be about your kingdom. I want to be in love with you. So make me the best I can be for you. I believe you died on the cross for me. And your blood covered my sins. And you rose from the dead so I could spend eternity with you. So fill me now with your Holy Spirit. So I'll love you more and love people more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.